spotlight on Mid-State High School football. This is Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb. Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb, is also brought to you by
Tin Leaper Roofing, Rockwood Sustainable Solutions, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Sam's Sports Plates and Sports Grill, Roy's Meat Service, Amplify Awards and Gifting, and by Valentino's Restaurante.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan
and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Live from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville, here are the hosts of Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb, Greg Pogue, and Coach Bubba Spears.
Good Saturday morning. How are you doing? 2 hour Saturday morning extravaganza. Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Coach Bubba Spears, Greg Pogue, hour number one, Prep Football Talk. We'll get to that. And next hour, one-on-one. We started it off last week with Jeff Fisher, and we step up, okay? Long time Channel 5 news anchor, just one of the sweetest ladies you'll ever meet. Vicki Yates is going to be here next hour, just hanging out, and I'm excited about that.
I don't know how you got her.
Well, I asked.
Oh, there you go.
And I told my wife, Robin, if she says, hey, I want to run away with Greg, I'll send you a postcard.
And then Robin said, no problem.
Yeah, she said, whatever. Just, yeah. Hey, last night it was the debut of the Nashville Metro Public Schools High School Football Game of the Week, presented by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. I know it's a big name, but a big thing that we're doing on 102.5, the game, you and Chase McCabe and Nick Frazier, great job, guys. Really, I listened to every bit of it. And even starting at 6 o'clock with the pregame, the tailgate, the kickoff, and then the postgame and all of the stuff that they're doing. Chase, you're the program director over there. You guys hit a home run last night.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun. Coach Spears is awesome. I had a lot of fun with him and Nick on the sideline. I mean, we didn't know how all this was going to necessarily work, and I think it worked pretty flawlessly. We had a few things to kind of work through that the listener didn't even know about, but I thought it was great. And Connor and Parker back at the studio, we kind of gave it that big time feel, and that's what we wanted to do. I mean, these kids deserve that. So we wanted to make this sound like a big broadcast, and I thought we did that. Looking forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, and it was competitive, 14-0 at halftime, Bubba. And, you know, Maplewood stretched on out a little bit in the second half.
Well, from a coaching standpoint, one of the things that we talked about earlier was turnovers, mistakes, you know, hang on to the football. And that's what the outcome was, you know, the turnovers that McGavick had. But it was an honor to work with Chase. And, again, what Chase said, for us five, it's the first time that we've been together, and I thought it went pretty good. But, you know, we can always, as we talk about as coaches and your team, we'll get better each week.
Yeah, you scout yourself.
Yeah, we'll get better each week.
Hey, coming up later on, we will be naming the very first Tim Leeper Roofing Mid-State Player of the Week, and then on Monday or Tuesday, we get out to the school, make a plaque presentation to the player and the coach. We'll do that. And then we have those folks or other folks come on about 8:15. Today, though, TSSAA Executive Director Mark Reeves is going to join us. Bottom of the hour, our prep legend of the week, Watson Brown. And, of course, there's so many ways you could take it with Watson, but obviously focusing on his high school background, you know, his brother, his grandfather over there, famous high school football coach in the state of Tennessee. So, got that going on. We always kick it off, though, with the Rockwood Sustainable Solutions. You know, when we started, I was going to say scoreboard, but that's when we started this 14 years ago. We, Kurt Page, Craig Ladd, you came a year later as Kurt, you know, now I think he's in Poland now. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. He's in Poland right now coaching football. But we would always start out by running down all the scores in the Mid-State.
Right.
Well, right now, that would take 20 minutes just to do that. So if you want to see the complete scoreboard, you can go TSSAAsports.com, or you can go to the Tennesseans website and check out, you know, that. And a lot of the stuff we gather and bring to you is through our research of what George Robinson and Tom Crager are doing at the Tennessean. So we're kicking it off, Rockwood Sustainable Solutions, with a lot of the highlights, certainly the game of the night, Christ Presbyterian Academy, CPA at Oakland, the two top-ranked teams in the Mid-State, and Oakland just keeps getting it done last night. And a good win for Kevin Creasy, and 28-14, great atmosphere down there. But Oakland just, their defense did not give up a first down in the second half.
They, like you said, they just keep getting better and better. But let me tell you this, CPA, they get better and better. So what a game. The number one team, Oakland, against the number two team. What an atmosphere, you know, that was last night for the kids that's playing. That's what it's all about. And Coach Creasy does an outstanding job. And Coach Martin at CPA, both of them outstanding coaches. What a way to start the season!
Well, and I like football. I like this because both those teams have trouble finding opponents.
Oh
right?
Yeah,
you
right,
know,
right.
Who wants to start your season with a sure loss, right?
Right.
And so it measured it, and CPA this year moves up to the top of Division II Class AAA. So it's going to be. I know they sort of pushed back against that a little bit, but, you know, selfishly me, I like to see them playing with the big boys. Some big players in that game, CPA senior wide receiver Owen Cabell, who's headed to Alabama, had a big first half, got shut down in the second half, and had two touchdowns and 80 yards in that first half. But Oakland, get this, Oakland, right? You got Tut, the Ole Miss commitment, who's in the secondary. Craig Tut, he moves over and running back Kamani Bass there. Oakland last night on the offensive line started two sophomores and a freshman. I almost said true freshman, but yeah. They didn't. They don't redshirt not yet. Anyway, in high school, but they started two sophomores and a freshman on the offensive line at Oakland.
Right, if I'm not mistaken, talking to Engel earlier in the summer, they're young up front also. So, I mean, it was young against young last night. But starting a freshman at Oakland is just, you know. You don't see that often.
Yeah, and just the caliber of – I'm sure they're already being recruited, right, in all the boards.
No doubt.
Yeah, about that. Another – I guess if they're games of the night, you'd also have to put Montgomery Bell Academy, Pearl Cone. This series is – you know, Pearl Cone's held up, and this series is really another one of those that I think you got to credit. Well, first off, Marty Uverard, long, long time coach. Chris Chauvin, long time defensive coordinator, moves up into that head coaching role. And certainly Tony Brunetti over at Pearl Cone. Credit to both coaches that this series continues.
Yeah, we talked to Tony at the Metro Media. Tony has trouble also scheduling teams. I mean, his schedule is NBA, CPA, BGA, Oakland.
Yeah.
And, you know, he comes out of that, but he's preparing himself for his region. And down the road, too. So, but thanks to NBA and Pearl Cone for keeping that game. What is it, like 15 years?
Yeah, it is. And the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Same, right.
Ronit Chandra last year hit a 53-yard field goal, the winner. The winner last night, the difference of the 17-14, he hit a 24-yarder last night.
Well, a little bit easier, 24 yards, but, you know, still, what a game and what an atmosphere, and they were the game of the week on my TV 30, I believe.
Yep. Nashville Christian, we're gonna get plenty on Jared Curtis this year.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I saw him as a freshman.
I remember that when you said
when
it.
When I said, I remember he was backpedaling off his back right foot, flung one like 28-yard rope. It was like a 38-yard pass deep in the end zone, and this was as a freshman. I go, oh, boy. Of course, he's been committed to Georgia, decommitted, Oregon flirtations, back committed, headed to Georgia. And one of these days, one of these weeks, you'll know he will be out heading over there to hand him a Mid-State Player of the Week plaque just because I want to
try it.
Yeah. But anyway, last night, 14 of 16, 247 yards, three touchdowns, interception, and also – he's a tough kid. He'll run the football. And I've seen him run over secondary. He would, like, go hunt for them, right?
Right.
Just so he can run over them.
Well, you know, with that right arm,
yeah.
The way he can wing it.
And a big kid.
You don't want him running the football a lot because you want him back there taking the snap.
And you know, Jeff Brothers has, I mean, the opportunities in the NIL world, not only in this state, but Georgia, Atlanta, you know, a lot of different places, IMG Academy, he could go. The NIL world has shifted that a little bit where you can keep players like that at a lower private level. Like, but Jeff Brothers, of course, Brentwood Academy product, Vanderbilt standout, has done a really good, I mean, a great job with how he's handled Jared Curtis.
Right, and we need to bring up T.J. Ward. He also had a good night last night, 11 carries, 194 yards, and four touchdowns in Nashville Christian's win. And they beat a good team in Davidson Academy.
Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb here on 94.9 The Fan. Brentwood Academy, 45-7. I'll mention this, though. You got Oregon football commitment in Brentwood Academy, five-star receiver, Kashawn Bowman. We're going to hear a lot about him this year, but Larry Sanders last night. This is the one, though. George McIntyre, a lot like Jared Curtis. We've been watching him develop through high school all the way now, obviously, at the University of Tennessee. You're the quarterback that follows McIntyre, right?
And right.
Crew Jenkins last night, 13 of 16, 169, and at Brentwood Academy with that. And Lawson, coached by former Brentwood Academy assistant Brian Lilly.
Right. I'm going to tell you something. Coach Wade out there at Brentwood Academy, when he took that job.
From DCA,
from
right?
DCA.
Right.
You just got to know Paul. Paul does an outstanding job, and like I said, when they got it, they didn't hit a home run hiring him to hit a grand slam. You know, that was a big one for Brentwood Academy, and he's going to be fine out there. And Cruz Jenkins looked like he started off pretty good, 13 of 16.
And, again, the Rockwood Sustainable Solutions opening segment here, highlights. We also do a Tim Leeper Roofing. Hey, nice T-shirt there, bro. I mean, you're always – begging me for swag, and that's a fair assessment. All right, let's do this. Tim Leeper Roofing, Mid-State Player of the Week. Five nominees. Man, there's some big numbers. In the win over Jackson Prep, Mississippi, the quarterback at BGA, Caden Marable, 389 yards and six touchdowns.
Good night for him. Jaden McCowan of Friendship Christian. McCowan had 17 carries for 223 yards and four touchdowns in a 34-7 win over Trousdale County.
Cannon Burroughs, another game of the night, was Green Hill and Beach. Green Hill, Cannon Burroughs, 16-23, 187 yards, a touchdown, 12 carries, 60 yards, so that's an average of five per carry. Quick Kentucky public math there, and a touchdown. The win over Beach, 38-21. He had a combined 247 yards of total offense.
Good night for Cannon.
Yep.
Also, J.C. White, Lipscomb Academy, 28 of 51 for 364 yards and two touchdowns in the loss last night.
Yeah, and they took it on the chin pretty good last night as well. And also, big numbers, Jamarcus Brown, running back at Stewart's Creek, 36 carries, 250 yards, four touchdowns, 39-36 win over Centennial. 36 carries, that sounds like one of those running backs you coached, that many carries.
If it's hot, keep giving him the rock.
Man, where do you want to head with this?
Well, we're fortunate. Yeah. The one I want to go with is the Ken Burroughs at Green Hills.
Cannon Burroughs.
I mean Cannon Burroughs, because what a big game. I want to say, you know, Beach, Coach Crabtree does an outstanding job. You know what I think of him. And he made it look easy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's one of the top passers. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the Mid-State.
We're going to go to Green Hill High School. You know,
Sounds good.
Of the times we went there, I had a flat tire.
I remember that.
And the cross-country team fixed it for me.
They'll do anything to get out of running.
Yeah, or get me off campus.
Right.
But
right.
Anyway, so, yeah, our Tim Leeper Roofing Mid-State Player of the Week is going to be Cannon Burroughs, quarterback out there, 247 yards of total offense on the ground and through the air, and a couple touchdowns. So we'll be headed over to Green Hill and make that presentation with Paul Olson of Tim Leeper Roofing. Get us all back together, and you'll see all the pictures all over social media with that. All right, Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb. We've named the Tim Leeper Roofing Mid-State Player of the Week. Bottom of the hour, we're going to have Watson Brown, our prep legend. Craig Ladd will close it all out with a look ahead to week two. Coming up next, and what a job he has, the TSSAA Executive Director, Mark Reeves, coming up right here on 94.9 The Fan. Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb every Saturday morning here on 94.9 The Fan from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Coach Bubba Spears, Greg Bug, bottom of the hour, our prep legend of the week. Watson Brown, Craig Ladd will join us to look to week two. And coming up next hour, one-on-one with Greg Pogue right here, the lovely Vicki Yates. I'm really excited to have her just hang out next hour. Mark Reeves, TSSAA, Executive Director, the fifth in a line of some pretty dang good ones in April of 2022, was named that, and he's joining us now. Mark, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right, I'm going to read you some names in order. A.F. Bridges, Gil Gideon, Ronnie Carter, Bernard Childress, Mark Reeves. You got some work to do.
Well, man, we all stand on the shoulders of those who came before us, and I don't feel worthy of standing on the shoulders of those who you named, but certainly fortunate and blessed and honored and humbled to be in this role.
And I had lunch a little while ago with Ronnie Carter, and I flat out asked him, what do you think it would be like to be executive director in today's climate? Mark, the landscape continually is shifting, isn't it?
It is, what I try to remind myself every day in the midst of all the stuff that's happening and going on and all around us is amidst the noise is, you know, kids are showing up to school every day. Kids are coming out and they're playing ball. They're participating in activities. And the large majority of them are just doing what we've all done. Most of the large majority of us have all done. And that's just come out and try to enjoy something, have fun with your friends, participate, compete, learn those life lessons through sports. And you know, really, that hasn't changed a whole lot. The culture and what's going on around us and even some within us is changed, certainly. But when it all comes down to it, kids are out there playing ball, having fun.
Marcus, Bubba Spears, I tell you what, first of all, I think you're doing an outstanding job. The TSSAA, they have their hands full. You know, it's a nonprofit organization. In high school football in the state of Tennessee, we need the TSSAA. We need y'all.
Well, we need each other.
Right.
That's the way I think about it. When you hear that term TSSAA, it's often misunderstood. The TSSAA is the Association of Schools. We simply are a few folks that work in Hermitage that administer the programs, the rules, all the things that go with what that membership was created to do and what they want to do. So we all need each other. We're just simply trying to bring everybody together and try to carve a path forward in this day and time.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Mark, because of the Board of Control, certainly the Legislative Council, but the 9-member Board of Control, 3 from each region of our state, they're, lack of a better term, they're your boss, your bosses, right?
Oh, yes, they are, and that number, it was 9 for many, many years, it's 12.
Oh, that's, 12,
with
right.
With the addition of our 3 independent school representatives some time ago, and that was a great move, by the way. That's been one of the, I think, most positive moves moving forward for the association. But ultimately, it is those elected representatives of the Board of Control that govern the organization, and then those 12 from the Legislative Council that determine what eligibility rules we have. So it's very similar to what folks might think of from a state or federal government level in terms of the different branches and whose role is what. We try to spend a little bit of time every time we're in front of our administrators in schools and coaches, et cetera, to explain that governance, because that's something I look back on my time as a high school coach and administrator. I'm not quite sure I really didn't understand exactly how all that worked until I came to work for TSSAA.
TSSAA Executive Director Mark Reeves with us.
Mark, I wouldn't be doing a TSSAA right if I didn't mention this. I think in December maybe we're going to lose another director up there, Gene Manise. He's decided that, you know, he's retiring. Is rumor still going on around that?
Yeah, Gene is actually, it's actually sooner than that. August 30th is Gene's last day. He and I were having a conversation yesterday, and we were just talking about this Friday, you know, would technically be his last day on duty. And, man, 34 years, what an incredible amount of institutional knowledge and just the work that he has done over so many years in the realm of baseball and basketball, officiating, sportsmanship. You know, I can't say enough good things about him. My office was right down the hall from him when I first started. And Gene, of course, we all have our doors open. We're all hearing the same conversations that are going on with school people. And I learned so much just listening to Gene and the way that he approached his work and the way that he built relationships with schools and officials, et cetera. He'll be dearly missed.
And I remember when he played for the Sounds, right? He was a heck of a shortstop, right?
I go way back. No, he's second base.
Yeah. Was he second base?
I go
Excuse
way back
me.
To Madison.
Infielder.
Middle infielder. He was one of my heroes growing up. I tell him that all the time, and he thinks I'm telling him a story. But what a class act and a great person.
Amen to that. We were so fortunate to have him for so long. And, you know, Mr. Carter, who had the forethought to hire Mr. Manise some time ago, I believe it was 1991, when he did that, you know, our organizations are only as good as our people, and we have phenomenal people, and there's so much credit that goes to those who have come before me, again, who put a lot of those folks in place with our current staff now.
Certainly Matthew Gillespie. I mean, Ronnie, everybody calls him Mr. Carter. He's Ronnie to me, okay? I just and with that, and I also am not going to put you on the spot about some of the touchy subjects, but I am going to have my own editorial comments, okay? One, I don't like the transfer rule one time, and I am totally against unlimited transfers. I think that would open up the wild, wild west, and so that's my editorial statement on that, and we'll move on.
Good.
No, well, I'll be glad to chime in on that.
Okay.
I know that's a touchy subject, but we talk about it all the time. I think it's important for all of us to know and understand and realize that interscholastic athletics, what we think about at the high school and middle school level, what we do every day, is different from the college space. It is dramatically different. Our missions are different. Our priorities are different. Our purpose is different. And so the wild, wild west that we see at the NCAA level does not need to happen. And so the tricky part of what we're trying to navigate here is you're also living in a time where school choice is a high priority of our current administration, both at the state and federal level. And the reality is that culture is changing to some degree. So how do those two cultures come together? How can we keep the lid on, knowing that our realities in education are changing a little bit, and also knowing that we are not the NCAA. We don't want to be that wild, wild west. We don't want unlimited transfers. And where's our balance there? And that's tricky. That's tough. That's part of our challenges every day. But again, it's not the 16 folks that work every day in Hermitage. It's our membership all collectively working together. How do we work together to find that, to figure out what that looks like?
Mark, foundationally, how does this come to play where you are now? You in high school, football, wrestling, baseball, golf, Springfield, the Yellow Jackets right over there. And you, I guess, you to be executive director of TSSAA, you have to be a former wrestling coach like Ronnie Carter, right? But, you know, you all of those things, but also teacher, coach, administrator. Certainly, it's your alma mater, Springfield, but having that basis as not only a student athlete, but also coach, you know, teacher, administrator, how has that helped you where you are now?
Well, if I tell you, I think it would be very difficult to serve in this role without some of those perspectives. I can't say enough good things about the time that I had, both as a student athlete, as a teacher, as a coach, as an administrator. You know, my whole life has been tied to education-based athletics, and that perspective is certainly valuable. You know, you want to be able to relate to those who you are trying to lead. And it's also important to understand, too, that those who are just now getting in this business have grown up in a little bit different light than what we did. You know, I'm a little far removed from my first days as a teacher and coach at Springfield High School. So that's, again, a priority of ours to stay engaged and in touch and to make sure that we're listening and hearing what those who are leading in that space in the trenches every day are going through. So I can't say enough about how valuable that experience was for me.
Mark Reeves, TSSAA Executive Director, joining us this morning on Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb. Mark, thank you. Keep on tilling and plowing and keep on working.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for what you all do and bringing light to what's happening out there and what these young men and women are doing and participating and you know, just appreciate you guys elevating their platform.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Have a good day, bud.
Thanks, Mark.
You too.
Mark Reeves. He's done a really nice job.
He has.
I mean, and yeah, name those names.
Yeah. Yeah. Mess with him, he'll do a single leg takedown.
Yeah. All right. Which wouldn't be very difficult with me.
Me neither.
Just look at me and I'll fall over. All right. Hey, top of the hour, 101 with Greg Pogue right here at Roy's Meat Service is going to be Vicki Yates, longtime Channel 5 news anchor. Craig Ladd will look to week two. But coming up, our strike and spare legend of the week, none other than Watson Brown, right here, 94.9 The Fan. Yeah, we're at Roy's Meat Service doing it every Saturday morning. Prep Football Talk, first hour, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 101 with Greg Pogue. Last week was Jeff Fisher and Vicki Yates. Next hour, going to hang out here. Looking forward to that. I got to get Bubba, hey, put that tomahawk steak down and get over here. Running around with a tomahawk steak. Watson Brown, the strike and spare, legend of the week. Watson, good morning, buddy. What's up?
Morning, guys. Isn't it, don't you smell football in the air? It's amazing.
It is.
I can smell it. I can smell it.
It's a great Saturday morning. Anytime you open up high school football, Coach Brown, great talking to you. This is the week of my heroes. I mean, Gene Manese, and now we talking, you know, Coach Brown. You know what you mean to me, Coach.
Yes, and you do me too. So good to talk to you, boy. I don't see you. I don't see either one of you enough.
Well, you need to come down from your perch from on the plateau and come on down here and visit with the hoi polloi.
You're exactly right, but it's a little cool up here on the plateau, so I don't jump back down in that concrete unless I have to.
We could talk about a lot of different things. I'm not going to ask you anything about college football, the collective, the NIL, the transfer. I'm not going to ask you one thing about that. I am going to. What was it like growing up, your grandfather, Eddie Jelly Watson, Tennessee Sports Hall of Famer, just one of the legend high school coaches? What was it like growing up with your grandfather, one of the best high school coaches this state's ever had?
Well, it was two things. Number one is fantastic because he was such a great guy. You know, Greg, I've never heard of all the players that he coached and have spewed on them now, but I never heard a player ever say a negative thing about my granddad, ever. And that don't happen very often, to say the least. And the second thing is I was so lucky in a way that I'm at practice nearly every day. My dad owned a sport and did score. My mother worked with my dad. So we were with my grandparents, or we were in that store. So we were with granddad on the practice field. We're on buses going to games. We're on sidelines. But my best friend's dad was Wilburn Tucker, who was the head coach at Tennessee Tech at the time. Kevin is his son. And so I'm on the sidelines at all the Tech games. At the same way, I guess I had no chance but to be some form of an athlete or a coach because I was sure brainwashed. But both of those men were just fantastic people, and players loved them both. My granddad, there's stuff named after my granddad all over this town. But I thought the best thing about him was the players just absolutely loved him.
Yeah, and Tucker Stadium, obviously,
right.
Tennessee Tech.
Tucker Stadium, named after Kevin's dad, yes.
Yep.
And Coach Brown,
and Coach Tucker, and Coach Tucker and my dad, guys, were roommates in college. Played football together.
Yeah, wow.
So and Coach Brown, way back, way, way
Coach
back.
Brown, you finished up coaching at Tennessee Tech, correct?
I did. I came back home and finished up in my late 50s, I guess, maybe early 60s when I came back. And we've not left since so far anyway. My wife's from Lebanon. I have a daughter in Hermitage, so we're trying to move back that way. So maybe you guys would see me more. But some of the house prices need to come down a little bit before we move back.
Watson Brown with the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center prep legend of the week.
I tell you what, Coach, I still tell people at the time that when you were coaching at Cincinnati, we went up, spent the weekend with you, Coach Mantooth, and Rick Christopher.
Yep.
You just made us feel at home. You know, you've always had open arms to high school coaches. And all of us still remember that, and we thank you for that. And we just don't have enough of that going on now.
I don't understand it either, Bubba. I don't get it. I don't understand. The high school football is the basis of football in our country. Always has been. That's the start of football. And from junior pro through the high school is the start. And I do not understand why more college coaches don't embrace that. Because without high school football, you don't have college football. You sure don't have the NFL. It just don't. You've got to have it coming through. And the high school coach has always coached because he wanted to. He sure wasn't making a lot of money.
Amen.
He coached because he wanted to coach. And that's why these kids have been so lucky. I've seen so many kids, guys. So I've had them myself in college. But the high school coach is the biggest affecter of a kid growing up than anybody. And I've seen so many come from poor homes that not have daddies or not around mamas and daddies, they're working, whatever it might have been, in bad areas, and the high school coach just flat saved their lives and got them in the right environments and taught them the right things as they grew up.
Watson Brown with us, prep legend, Strike and Spare. By the way, Strike and Spare Family Fun Center, Larry Schmido, right? Watson, you ever cross paths with Larry Schmido?
No, not enough times. I love him. He was my baseball coach at Vanderbilt. I absolutely love him. He's one of the favorite coaches I ever had. So don't tell him that because it'll give him the big head.
Oh, he already knows.
He absolutely was one of my favorites. And he also had something to do with me going to Vanderbilt.
Well,
people have asked me many times because I committed to Alabama and then ended up backing out and going to Vanderbilt. In those days, Greg, they didn't publicize a commitment, so nobody really knew. But I ended up backing out and going to Vanderbilt, and I've been asked so many times, why did you change? And I never can give an answer. I think a piece of it, looking back now, was because of Coach Schmido had helped recruit me, and he was the baseball coach. And they told me, once I earn my spot in football, I can play baseball. And Coach Bryant said, no, you're going to have to be a football player your whole time. That probably had more to do with it than I think, to tell you the truth.
All right, let me ask you this. If the Yankees had drafted you instead of the Pittsburgh Pirates, would that have changed anything?
It was the Red Sox that were going to draft me.
Okay.
The Pirates were out of college.
Okay.
And I told the Pirates I wasn't good enough. My arm, I just wasn't good enough. I batted about .250 that last year, and that's just not good enough. But the Red Sox were the ones going to take me, Greg. And if the Yankees had taken me, that might have changed. I don't know. I was going to have to graduate and go straight north and start ball at just turned 18. I was 18 in April. Ego always has something to do with it. I can never forget the Red Sox scout coming in the house, and what they told me was, they said, okay, we're going to draft you somewhere between one and three rounds, but you cannot sign in football prior. If you do, we're not going to take you. And that was tough. And the second thing they said, we think you're a second baseman. We don't think your arm's strong enough to play shortstop. in my little ego at that point, that kind of hurt it a little bit. But now that I watch these guys throw from the hole and stuff, I say, yeah, that scout was absolutely right. I was a second baseman. I wasn't a shortstop. But the other thing, Greg, in those days, you could not, if you didn't make it in baseball, you couldn't come back and play another sport. You were a professional in everything. And so you had to make it in that sport. And I think that had, if it was in today's world, I would have probably done it, tell you the truth, and gone the baseball route. And if it didn't make it, come back to football.
Could you coach high school football today?
Would I?
Could you?
Could I? Yeah, absolutely. A coach is a coach. I don't care what the fundamentals of football and how to treat kids never change, Greg. They're the same. Now, the football changes up and down in a lot of ways. Kids change, but the two true pieces of coaching never change. They're still there if you're a good one. And yeah, I could do it and would want to do it. I said when I retired, the one thing I missed out on was being a high school coach, because I watching it all my life, high school coach had bigger effect on the kid than anybody else other than daddies and mamas.
Okay, Coach, I'm going to ask you this one question. If there was one thing you could change in college football, the rules, what would it be?
One thing I've always fussed about is not scrimmaging somebody or practicing a little for a day or two against somebody before you play. Every other sport scrimmages. Every other sport scrimmages somebody before they play a game other than college football. Professional, high school, all college teams, all college sports scrimmage somebody before they play. Basketball, soccer, they all do it. Football has never done it. I've never understood that. I've always wanted to have a spring game against somebody. Just
and sell tickets. Can you imagine?
Sell tickets to it.
Yeah, Clemson, Tennessee.
I've always wanted to have a scrimmage prior to the season. I've fussed for that for years, been on different committees. I was on the committee where they, when the all that APR stuff was put in. I was on that committee that came up with all of that as an AD at UAB, and I fussed for that for years, guys, and nobody has given into it yet. Don't understand why. Middle Tennessee could drive up the road to Vanderbilt and practice in the morning and scrimmage them that afternoon, and you can't tell me for near nothing. And you can't tell me that wouldn't help both be a little more prepared for the season as it comes around.
Watson, always a pleasure, but I'll come up and visit you on your perch on the plateau.
Get him off the
come
golf
on,
course.
Buddy.
Yeah. Well, I guess
you have to find me on the golf course. Probably.
I know. Right. I know. I'll catch you at the turn.
That'd be okay.
All right.
Love
see you, Watson.
You guys, and I would love to see you some more than I do.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks,
Watson
guys.
Brown.
See you.
They don't make them any better.
No. Hey, coming up next hour, 101 with Greg Pogue, Vicki Yates has graced us. We're going to hook her up with one of these tomahawk steaks for the grill tonight. We're going to look ahead. Week two already in high school football. Craig Ladd will take that look right here. Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb, 94.9 The Fan. Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service. Craig Ladd is going to join us in the final segment every week. Look at week two games, Page at Green Hill, Brentwood Academy at Brentwood, Ravenwood at Lipscomb Academy, Pearl Cone at CPA, Father Ryan at Riverdale, Innsworth at Nashville Christian. Craig, Page at Green Hill, we just named Cannon Burroughs the QB out there, our Tim Leeper Roofing Mid-State Player of the Week. So right at the top of the list, Page, Coach Rathbone, and the Patriots headed to Green Hill.
Should be a great game, Greg. I was very impressed by Green Hill, the way they dominated that game against a very good Beach team. Page, a big win last night at Giles County. Not an easy place to win. They knocked off Giles by a score of 47-34. Their main potent ground attack was in full force last night. Isaac Odie rushed for 85 yards, four TDs. Also, Colt Brown, James Pierre, those are probably the three best high school running backs around. And, of course, you mentioned Cannon Burroughs, a UT Martin commit. He completed 16 to 26 passes for 187 yards and a touchdown. Also rushed for 69 yards and a score as the Red Hawks knocked off beats 38-21 on Thursday.
Brentwood Academy of Brentwood, I guess all eyes were on Crew Jenkins, the QB that's following George McIntyre for the Eagles.
Absolutely, and he's highly touted, Greg. He's showing up on the recruiting services, so he is no slouch by far. The Eagles dominated Lawson last night, 45-7. Jenkins, 13 of 16, 169 yards and a touchdown. Not bad for a debut right there. The Bruins squeaked by Smyrna, 14-13. Parker Emerson, the running back, 85 yards and a score. These two teams have met 8 times, and Brentwood Academy has won 6 of those.
You also have what is it, Ravenwood and Lipscomb Academy. Is that the first time they've met?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
I think that is correct. It is the first time they've met. And, of course, Ravenwood, first-year coach Ricky Rodriguez taking over for Will Hester. Big win in his coaching debut, 28-24, of a very good Madison Ridgeland Academy out of Mississippi. Wow, BC commit quarterback Femi Babaloa. What a game last night. 274 yards passing, also 138 yards rushing. Lipscomb Academy took it on the chin last night to McCauley, a very good McCauley team, 56-20. J.C. White, great game, 364 yards passing. Columbia commit wide receiver Cam Blivens, 204 yards in receiving.
Well, here's another big one. Also, you know, and very seldom we go into this with one of them looking for their first win. You know, Pearl Cone playing CPA.
Absolutely. You know, the gauntlet started last night for Pearl Cone. Started with NBA, and now it's CPA. Firebirds led by quarterback L.J. Funk, a good quarterback, but he was limited last night to only 96 yards through the air. He had a rushing touchdown. Wide receiver Stephen Slaughter had 74 yards receiving to lead the Firebirds, which fell to NBA by a score of 17-14. CPA begins the season 0-1, but, you know, it's hard to fault them losing at Oakland, but, wow, the second half, their offense was completely shut down. They only had 11 snaps. And, Greg, you mentioned it earlier in the show, no first downs.
Yeah.
Bama commit Owen Cabell was only really the only bright spot for CPA. He had a couple of touchdown receptions in the first half.
Innsworth at Nashville Christian, quarterbacks, obviously, ooh, Jared Curtis at Nashville Christian, the Georgia commit. You've got Tim Hasselbeck, now the head coach at Innsworth, his son Taylor, still committed to Wyoming, I believe?
Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. And so you got to start with the QBs there.
Yeah, and that's a neighborhood right there, close, you know, right there.
Absolutely, Greg. This is going to be a very, very good football game and two of the best quarterbacks around. Taylor Hasselbeck, as you mentioned, a Wyoming commit. Last year, he had a really, really good year, completed 70% of his passes, 18 touchdowns. They knocked off Whitehaven, a good Whitehaven team, 31-6 to begin this season. What can you say about Nashville Christian quarterback Jared Curtis? Began the season this year 14-16, 247 yards passing, and 3 touchdowns. And then a compliment guy, and you mentioned him earlier, Bubba, TCU commit T.J. Ward, big night, 194 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns. Really sort of hard to believe, and I had to double-check this to make sure this is right. This also will be the first meeting between these two schools.
And the Zach Mettenberger era at Father Ryan, last night with the win over Overton, 24-13. Okay, step in class here. They go to Riverdale.
Yeah, and, you know, Zach, he comes in obviously with a great pedigree being from LSU, and then, you know, his Titans days, his coaching debut was a win, and a good win over old NIL rival Overton, 24-13. Riverdale a little bit disappointing, but Knoxville Catholic is a very good team. Riverdale lost at home 20-6. This will be the 5th meeting between the Irish and Warriors and the first since 1986, with Riverdale winning 3 of the previous 4 encounters.
And our Metro Nashville Game of the Week, presented by Strike and Spare, will be McGavick at Hunter's Lane, Chase McCabe, Coach Bubba. You'll be over there, and the dedication of the new field, Jerry Pig Field. I know it's going to be an emotional night for you.
Yeah, you know what? These schools getting turf. I mean, it's they can't thank the Titans.
The Titans, yeah.
That's right.
But you, it's...
Yeah, I was Coach there Pig. In 86 when we opened it up.
Yeah. And how's Coach Pig doing?
Great. Great. Yeah. Probably listening this morning. I'll probably get a phone call on the way home.
Craig, thank you, man. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah, we're going to be out to Green Hill High School. Cannon Burroughs, the quarterback over there, our Tim Leeper Roofing Mid-State Player of the Week. We'll present a plaque to him, and we'll be off. So Friday night, Metro, you and Chase. I'll be listening. You guys did a great job last night.
Well, thank you. Chase carried me again. You know, I get you off my back now. He's got me on his back.
I don't know He's about all that.
Yeah.
You don't. This is straight. You don't carry me.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Because it would break your back. All right. All right. Hey, coming up next hour, this is going to be a treat. 101 with Greg Poker, guest, longtime Channel 5, News Channel 5 anchor, Vicki Yates. She'll be here hanging out with us. She's already got a tomahawk steak in her purse. So anyway, coming up next hour, right here on 94.9 The Fan.